Hi, guys. Nice to talk to you.
Good to talk to you. You know, Tom, it never ceases to amaze me, and I've been watching you do this.
Congratulations, by the way.
Yes, first of all, congratulations.
Thanks, guys.
It never ceases to amaze me, and I've been watching you do this for quite some time, at the depth and the breadth of your responsibilities on this football team and how deftly you must handle not only the offense and the protections and the progressions, and then when it's all said and done and everybody still hasn't even calmed down yet, you have to go and answer the questions after the game. With that in mind and that admiration stated, I ask, do you agree with the Panthers' defensive backs that Randy gave up yesterday, chose not to be involved, and specifically was responsible for the interception when he didn't run hard out of the cut?
Well, you know, I mean, I think those guys, you know, everyone takes kind of liberty to say whatever they want to say after, you know, when someone, in a situation like yesterday. So, I mean, I've seen plenty of plays made on Chris Campbell, too, over the course of the season. So, I'm not, you know, I don't think that's, you know. Anyway, you know, he just, guys, when they play Randy, they want to, you know, show everyone what they can do, and I guess, you know, they came out of the game pretty confident. But, you know, Randy's one of the best players in the history of the NFL, so I mean, it's just you know, when it doesn't go perfect out there, then, you know, everyone always wants to, you know, to jump on Randy. But, you know, it's all of us, and we've all got to do a better job, and I'm real proud of the way we won and the way we made some pretty great plays there in the third quarter and in the fourth quarter, made some big kicks and special teams, some big stops on defense. So, you know, there's a lot to be encouraged about. So, you know, one down and three to go.
Maybe I'm wrong and maybe I'm interpreting this incorrectly, but it appeared on television at least two occasions you were trying to re-engage Randy. He was listening but not looking at you. To the extent you can you share the tone and tenor of those conversations, Tom?
Well, you know, yeah, I mean, he's one of the favorite guys I've ever played with. He's one of my good friends on the team, and I'm always trying to keep everyone motivated into it, whether it's the receivers, the offensive linemen, and I know when we don't make good plays, when, you know, I throw interceptions, or, you know, there's drop passes, or there's, you know, a fumble, or, you know, I'm always trying to go over to pump the other guy up and just let them know. It's easy to get down on yourself, but, you know, I think it's always important to go back out there and keep battling too. And, you know, we did that definitely at times yesterday, and Randy's, you know, definitely done that, you know, over the course of his career. He's had to, because it just doesn't always go right. And, you know, it's, we didn't certainly play our best game on offense, but we won. And that to me is what's most important.
Well, how about these last 3 weeks, Tom? Do you have to get more from Randy, and do you think you will get more from Randy these last 3 weeks and into the playoffs?
Well, you know, we've gotten a lot from him all year. I mean, he's one of the top receivers in the league right now. I mean, he's up there in yards and catches and touchdowns, and you know, every game plan that the defense comes up with, you know, is trying to stop Randy Moss. I mean, you hear it. I mean, they all say, okay, well, we got to stop Randy Moss. So it's not like they don't have respect for him, and the game plan is built around stopping him. So,
but wasn't it in 07 also, or in years past, the game plan to stop Moss, and they couldn't do it, and now we're the last 3 weeks he has six catches, and yesterday only one, and he ended up dropping that one. And I'm just looking at the game summary right now, and you only threw his direction once in the second half. Why is that? Is that a function of the defense?
Yeah, mostly that's a function of the defense. You know, when he gets, you know, single coverage, he usually gets the ball. So, yeah, I mean, he's a dynamic player for us, and we need all of our best players to play our best. I mean, that's what it comes down to. In these critical games, we need everybody to play their best. And we've had 13 games, and, you know, we're at 8-5, a game ahead in our division, and certainly with three most important games to go. So, you know, Randy's, you know, I love having Randy out there. I love having him on this team, you know, with Wes and the third receiver, whoever it may be at the time, and the way we ran the ball better yesterday. So, you know, there's definitely some positives we take out of it. Now, we all, you know, want to, you know, go out there and do our best every week, but that's not just always the case, you know, in the NFL. And we'll just come back and rebound and try to do it better next week.
Hey, Tom, you say part of your job is to keep the guys engaged and involved on the sideline. We've seen you from time to time, you know, talking to the offensive linemen and getting them all jacked up. Have you ever felt compelled to have that motivational, inspirational sideline conversation with Wes? Because he seems like a self-starter.
Yeah, you don't need to do it with Wes very much. I mean, he's unbelievable, man. He's, you know, it's kind of his leadership and what he's able to do and the way he's able to perform and the way he's able to compete on a down-to-down basis with, you know, his size and stature in the middle of the field and getting hit by those guys. I mean, some of the shots he takes, I don't think television do it justice. I mean, when I see it up close and, you know, you fall with the ball underneath you and the guy land on top of you. I mean, that's pretty unbelievable. So he's what this team's all about. He's the kind of guy this team was built around. And, you know, obviously the kind of player that Coach Belichick loves and all the fans are really attracted to because he's kind of that, he's the undersized guy who's undrafted free agent that got cut by San Diego and now one of, you know, four players in NFL history to have three straight seasons with over 100 catches. So that's pretty unbelievable.
To show how little I know about what's going on out there, in the third quarter when Welker cut his 100th and got crushed, I said out loud, well, they can't go to him on the next play until his head gets cleared. And sure enough, you do and gained, I don't know, another first down. Was that play designed to go to him or did it just work out that way?
It just worked out that way, just based on the coverage. So he kind of got free and underneath there. I gave it to him, made a great catch and run. For the first, that was a big play. Man, we went 95 yards on that drive to score.
96
after, you know, the other drive where we went, you know, a decent amount of yards. We didn't end up, getting the ball down there in the end zone. We had a turnover. But, you know, that showed to me a lot of heart by our team. And Wes, when the crowd really got into it, Wes got up pumping his fists. And, you know, he was fired up. And he just came back. And I kept trying to get him the ball.
I know you have a photographic memory about these kinds of things. This is why I write it down from time to time. This is how you know that you can go to Welker and they can't stop you. I believe, correct me if I'm wrong, Tom, fourth quarter there was a 2nd and 9 at the New England 25, and at one point you yelled Omaha, and I think you also yelled Wes, and you went to Wes for his 10th catch of the day and a first down. That's pretty cocky to yell the guy's name out you're going to throw it to, and the defense still can't stop him.
Why don't you say the pass pattern
also? Why don't you say exactly? Did you not yell the name Wes out?
Hey, don't give those if those defense guys were any smarter, they'd be on offense. So, there's a reason why they're defense.
He says
but
Wes,
I never
and he
give
throws
those
it
guys
to
too much credit. Trust me, they're not the smartest guys on that side of the ball.
So my ears weren't tricking me. You said Wes, right?
I did.
He didn't respond. He didn't say, what, Tom?
Go down and out, 8 yard out. No.
That's right. He knew what I wanted.
Okay.
He knew what I wanted.
Tom, I got to say, on the pick, it looks, when they replay it, when they show it, when they analyze it, it just looks like Randy didn't go hard enough, and you were the victim. You get blamed for the interception, but it didn't look like your fault.
Well, you know, there's always things that come up. You know, with receivers and quarterbacks, and you know, as a quarterback, you throw it to a place where you think the guy's going to be. And Randy saw something, and you know, he went to a place where he thought the ball was going to be. So, you know, I don't think you blame Randy on that. You know, I mean, I'm the ultimate one responsible with the football, and I hate games where I throw interceptions, and especially against a team like that, that's a turnover driven team. You know, it's not too often that we lose the turnover battle like we did and still win the game. So. You know, those turnovers have been tough to overcome, and we found ways to overcome them. So, you know, we're just going to keep battling. We're just going to keep trying to be on the same page and keep trying to make the good throws and the good reads, and, you know, hopefully we connect on them.
I think I want to take credit here. John and I want to take credit for pointing out that big guy number 84 in your huddle.
Eligible.
You never noticed him before, but you did yesterday.
Right.
So you just want to give us credit for calling those plays?
I know. You know, after that conversation on Monday, I had some soul searching last week. So I said I got it 84, and I just kept meditating on 84, 84. And sure enough, you know, you guys are right. You guys usually are right.
Not too often. Hey, but Tom, you know what? It took another failed 4th and 1 with a quick hitter to the fullback early in the game, in fact, in the first drive, for you to remember that we gave you the advice to include Ben Watson in the game plan.
Yeah, you guys, you know, that was, we didn't get that one either. So, you know, if you guys want to, you know, a second job or something, come on down to Foxborough and fill out an application.
Yeah,
you guys would be welcome.
I'm sure we would.
So call Bears or Stacy and see if we can have you guys down there.
Will we get out of work at 10 a.m. if we do down?
Yeah, we're done at 10, you know.
Yeah, we're done. We're free.
10 a.m. and golfing, hitting. You're on the first tee by noon?
Easily, yeah.
Would Belichick have a problem with that?
That's right. Well, I might want to send that application to you guys then.
So not a pretty win, but as they say this time of year, any win's a good win, right?
I think so. I mean, we played plenty of better games offensively and lost. So, I mean, it's a team game and complimentary. The special teams did, I thought, you know, one of the best jobs all season defensively. You know, we played a great game defensively. Offensively, we made some critical drives when we needed to. So, you know, I think, like I said, it wasn't all perfect, and you know, but ultimately it comes down to winning games. And when it's, you know, when it's rainy and 40 degrees out, I mean, it's not typically going to be your cleanest game offensively. There's going to be some, you know, ball handling issues and so forth. So, you know, you just got to overcome them and ultimately be the one standing there at the end of the day.
Did you see Julius Peppers coming, or did you hear him coming when you ducked under and he just got kind of the top of your shoulder and saved your life, saved your own life?
I can feel him coming. I mean, he's one of the biggest men. I mean, when you're seeing him standing out there at probably 6'7", 280, I mean, he's huge.
And fast.
So athletic. And, I mean, he's a great player for them. We're so concentrated on our pass protections being, you know, over toward him. And you know, I don't think we had a sack yesterday.
Nope. No.
So it's two games in a row. I mean, offensive line, the way they're performing down the stretch here. You know, two sackless games in a row, that's a big credit to those guys.
Hey, Tom, any problems in the clubhouse? I mean, you hear it everywhere. Every talk show, every TV show, they got issues inside the locker room for the first time in a long time. Can you confirm or deny?
Well, you know, I think there's just, I think from everybody, there's frustration when you lose.
Yeah.
I mean, really, there's one thing, and Coach said last week, there's one thing that's going to make us all feel better, and one thing only. And that's to win. And, you know, there's no sense of, you know, well-being when you lose games. I mean, it's pretty much as simple as that. So it'd be a much better feeling down there in Foxborough this week. I mean, I could actually, you know, turn the TV on this week, you know, a week like last week. It's so frustrating because everyone wants to think back on the game, while you're trying to move forward on the game, and you still have that, obviously, disappointment from the week before, but you've got to move forward with what's ahead. You don't sit there and reflect on, you know, oh, man, on Thursday afternoon, well, God, we sure should have won that game last week, because it's not doing anything for you the following week.
I don't know how you quantify this, but is the leadership of guys like Richard and Vrabel and Rodney missed in that locker room? And if so, are there people capable of filling that void, if not this year, going forward, Tom?
Well, we always, you know, it's that those leadership roles are established over time, and that's by example, that's by, you know, mostly by example and then by performance. You know, do you work hard? Are you committed to the team? Are you selfless? Do you put whatever personal goals, you know, behind whatever the team goals are? You know, do you practice hard every day? Do you show up with an attitude of a winning attitude of energy and enthusiasm? Do you play through injuries? I mean, and I think that's how people gain respect for you as a player. And then ultimately you're chosen as a leader or as a captain or, you know, a guy like Junior Seau. I mean, he's such a great example for our locker room. You know, just because, you know, he's in there at 6 a.m. working out. He's a 40-year-old man, you know, working out harder than any 22-year-old that we have. You know, who still comes out every day and, you know, leads us, you know, by example, and it is one of the most enthusiastic guys we have. I mean, he's a winner. I mean, so guys rally around that, and you need a bunch of players like that. And we've had a bunch of players like that in the past. And obviously with the transition of the roster, other guys step in and fill that. Like, you know, a guy like Wes has, you know, really in the last, you know, year or so, I'd say he's really taken that to the next level. He's comfortable in the system. And obviously the way he goes out there and performs, you know, he's so reliable for us. So, you know, we're just finding ways to keep building.
Hey, just curious, Tom, do you guys vote on captains or does the coach pick them?
No, we vote.
You vote. So those guys all, they earned their captaincy. They didn't just, you know, kiss the coach's ass.
No, no, we vote on them.
Isn't it embarrassing if the quarterback doesn't get elected? Isn't it kind of embarrassing for him, especially if he's a good quarterback?
Well, it probably tells you what the teammates think of him. Hey, so that's that's probably a big reflection of his personality.
You ever wonder if the coaches rigged the election just because if everyone voted for someone they didn't like?
I wouldn't think that would be the case, although. You know, I wouldn't put that past Belichick.
Hey, when you said we don't fight very hard, it went around the globe. It was like international news. First, does that amaze you that a seemingly innocuous statement, or not really, you didn't name names or anything, you just said we have to fight harder, gets that much play? And two, do you feel like you fought harder this week?
I thought we did, you know. I thought we did. And that's, you know, I always speak collectively. I mean, is a team game, and it's never about one player or two players or five players. It's about the whole. And, you know, that's every position, that's every player, that's every coach, that's everybody's commitment, you know, ultimately to winning. And, you know, coach said it last night after the game. He said, you know, listen, we got three games. We're going to put everything we have into it. You know, we're coming in today to practice. You know, this is what we have to do to, you know, this is what we're going to have to do to put it in. And if that's not important for you, then stay home, and you know we'll move on without you. And you know that's the message he sends, and I think that's what you know I'm always talking about. I always take a kind of the cue from our coach, because I think he always is right on top of kind of the pulse of the team, and he's got a great sense for that. He's been around so many teams, so when he says you know we're not mentally tough, that's you know kind of how I feel too, because that's. You know, I understand, you know, that's, you know, what he sees. And mental toughness is a lot of things, you know. It's your attitude on a Wednesday when you show up for practice, or a Monday when you're told to come in, or, you know, getting together with teammates to watch film, or staying late after practice to get more reps at the things that, you know, you haven't been very good at. Or, you know, and that's everybody's willingness and energy to do that. So it's, you know, at times, like I said, we really do display that. There's no doubt. And you can't be, you know, first place in a division and not have that. You know, you just, it's the consistency that, you know, we need to show. And, you know, a game like yesterday where you can win a game, and that obviously builds some momentum for you moving forward. You know, hopefully you can just keep building on it.
Tom, I know you're not going to reveal the gory details and the severity of your injuries, even though we think it's ribs, finger, and a shoulder. But can you tell us, are they getting better? Are you treading water, or are you going south?
I'm feeling a lot better. I mean, I hardly got hit yesterday.
Yeah,
so
that helps.
That goes a long way, you know, to me feeling better. And I didn't have much of a chance to practice last week, which I never like going into a game without practicing. But it's just the way the circumstances of came out. So I hopefully that goes better this week, and hopefully I'm out there practicing. But everybody's fighting through things this year. I mean, it's me, it's everybody. So just gotta, you know, I always think injuries are an excuse for, you know, poor performance. So, you know, you didn't play so well, I was injured. So I think that's a bunch of BS. I just think you're either out there or you're not, and you're either helping your team win or you're not helping your team win. And you know, we're just going to keep fighting through it. Injuries, weather, you know, a bad bounce. You know, that's what mental toughness is.
Tom, now most importantly, a little inside radio stuff here. And I have to confess, a little while ago when Brady Bambino number one arrived and you named him after me, Jerry was absolutely devastated over that. And I think the only way you can make it up to him, and he's really hoping against hope, and don't break his heart here, that Brady Bambino number two might be named Jerry. So you'd have like a John and a Jerry to deal with on Monday, and
wow,
a John and a Jerry to deal with like for the rest of your life.
Yeah.
Do you want to make an announcement?
I don't know, Jerry,
feel better?
Yeah.
Well, I don't know if I could. That I'm not so sure of. You got to convince my wife. You know, she makes all these decisions. So,
well, tell us what the decision is.
I haven't been home all week. So we thought we had a name picked for about 6 months, and then about 2 days before he was born, she said, "I don't like that name anymore." So it was kind of back to the drawing board, and I've been practicing all week and getting ready for the game. So
you really don't have a name?
So you call home and say, how's what's his name doing?
No, what I bet it was? I bet it was Tiger. And then she said, I don't like that name anymore.
Yeah.
I assure you it wasn't Tiger. So you, I can't be honest about that.
You haven't chosen one?
No, not that either. Not that either.
You think will it be traditional or will it be kind of exotic?
Exotic, yeah.
Probably traditional.
Oh, you win one. She let you win one.
Yeah.
Will it be Brazilian or American?
Well, I certainly want a name that I can pronounce, so.
Hey, based on yesterday, and I think it's a good, strong name, because John and Jack, that's a good, strong name. How about Ben Brady?
Ben's
a good, strong name.
After Ben Watson, because he made three catches?
That's just a good, strong name.
That's a great name. That's a great name.
How about Wes?
Yeah, Wes Brady.
Wes.
He is your binky, after all.
Yeah, Wes is a good name, too. I'll tell you, we've got about seven or eight choices. I've got to be home for more than 2 hours to sit down so we could talk about it. So,
can you tell us the one that you had or thought you had and have since rejected?
No, I can't tell you that either.
Oh.
I can't even go back to it.
Okay.
Tell me
still
this.
In play.
I couldn't help but notice you kept a game ball, and I'm guessing you had some plans for that. Did you give it to somebody, or did you put it in somebody's crib?
Yeah, I had that one. When my first son was born, it was the preseason of the Carolina game in 07, and we didn't lose a game for, until the Super Bowl. So, I don't know. Maybe there's something about that, and I kept that ball for him, too, which is now probably destroyed. So it's actually that's still down in his room. Actually, I was throwing with that ball the other night in my house.
Mm.
So, we kept that one. That's a good one to keep.
All right, well, give our best to your bride and to little Jerry in the crib. Oh, question of the week. I forgot.
Should we spell it with a G?
Yeah, I got to spell it with a G. Here we go. Question of the week. What's your son's name? No, I'm just kidding. Would you prefer to play in a domed stadium that has climate-controlled situations, or do you prefer the challenges of the weather?
That's a great question.
No, it isn't.
Because you always... Well, I see all these other teams that, like Minnesota or the Colts or, these cold weather environments with, the climate controlled. And for an offensive team, that's obviously a great thing.
Mm.
It's hard to go through, in December, playing where we play, obviously playing in Buffalo, offensively, you've got to have a team constructed that way to play in those conditions. And, I do think that helps build a lot of mental toughness as well. To go out there like last week when it was 25 degrees and 30-mile-an-hour winds, you begin to kind of enjoy that and understand that becomes a big, advantage for you when you're playing a team that doesn't play in that. Like when we played the Colts in 2003 and 2004 here, where the weather was crappy. I mean, I think that's a big advantage for us. And when it's perfect indoors, I mean there's nothing to it. I mean I think, but understanding how to play in these conditions can be a huge benefit for you. So I kind of like the advantage of it. Although I get pissed off when it's rainy and cold out, because we're trying to be really effective throwing the ball. But just kind of the way it is. But I know that's going to really lead to. More mental toughness and discipline down the stretch. So I'm all for that.
So you don't think the Colts are trying to prove they're really manly men if you meet in the playoffs like the AFC Championship game and open the roof? I don't even know if the roof opens. Is that roof open, Lucas?
Yes.
Yes. Yeah. Tell them to be a man and open the roof and play like a man.
Yeah, the Colts, that's not their thing. They want it nice and cozy, 70 degrees and no wind. So hell, that's why Adam signed with them, because there was a dome.
There you go.
I'm tired of kicking in Foxborough.
Life's a lot easier. All right, Tom, congratulations again. Best to Giselle, and enjoy whatever time you can steal away for your brand-new family.
Yeah, appreciate it, guys. Take care.